Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Did you ever dump a boyfriend or a girlfriend and really regret it a few months down the road and think, oh no, what did I do? I've spoken with people through the years who got a divorce and they look back and they go, what was I thinking? That person was so good and so loyal to me and so good for me. What did I do wrong? How did this happen? What have I made of my life? This all occurred to me on Thursday morning as I'm watching President Trump make an appearance on Fox and Friends in the morning via phone, and they're running down a laundry list of things that are wrong in America that were so right in America a year ago, that were under control. Pandemic aside, but even the pandemic, we now know that under Joe Biden, more Americans have died from the virus than under Donald Trump. Nothing seems to be going right anywhere in any circle. They really don't have any excuses when you ask, you know, or reasons why. They just say this is what we're doing. They won't say what's absolutely truth, and that is we don't really care what happens here to America. We're getting control. We're taking over. We're gaining control. We're getting control of more people's lives. We're going to pass a huge spending bill, cradle to grave. We're going to take over everything so people will always vote for us. When push comes to shove and it becomes election day, they're going to go with the party that gives them all the free stuff and takes care of them forever. They won't say that out loud, but we can clearly see that that's what's happening. And they clearly on the left don't care what they destroy in America. They want to break down the Constitution. They want to break down our traditions. They want to break down our way of life. And as I'm listening to Trump on Fox and Friends go through a litany of things that are wrong that were so right as recently as a year ago, it occurred to me that America can't fill the Trump hole. His poll numbers are better than they ever were when he was president. Joe Biden's are worse than any president since Jimmy Carter. There's incredible remorse by the American people that is unspoken. It is unreported in the media. You won't hear it from the left for sure. You won't hear it in the corporate media. You don't oftentimes see it reflected in social media or the way people converse with one another. But make no mistake about it, much of this is below the surface. If they get a private phone call, if they get a pollster, if somebody asks them privately and anonymously, they will tell them, yes, we miss Donald Trump. We miss Donald Trump because there was never a doubt that it was America first. A lot of people didn't personally like him. They didn't like his tweets. They thought he was a womanizer back in the day. They didn't like that he was a billionaire. There was a whole bunch of different reasons that people didn't like Donald Trump. He was bombastic. He was out there. Is he embarrassing America because he's so loud and so outrageous? And voting on those things is absurd. This is simply not how you vote. We've talked about this before, and I'm not going to go into great detail. I've done a podcast on this, that you don't vote that way. You vote on the best results. You vote for the person that is going to make the country better. This is the top federal position. So you vote for president based on who's going to run the country the best way. And right now there's tremendous remorse in America. This is simply Americans saying we can't fill a hole in our lives that we didn't know was going to exist. We just thought, okay, there's a couple of things we don't like about this guy, so get him out. America's so great, it doesn't matter who runs her, she's going to be fine. And now people are realizing that isn't true, that simply isn't the case. Trump is asked in the interview, will he commit to not using social media if he runs for president again or becomes president? And to me, this is an easy answer. If I'm Trump, I'm saying, no, I'm not committing to that, but I'll commit to this. After I'm president, I'll never be on social media again. That'll be the end. There'll be no point in it. I'm just going to go in there and run roughshod over everything. I've got 4 years. Nobody can stop me. I'm never up for re-election. I'm going to go crazy once I get in there. That's what he's going to do. If he gets elected, that's what he's going to do. If you thought he was a strong leader and moved fast in his first term, watch what would happen in his second term, because he wouldn't care at all what happens in his wake. He would just go do it. We know this about Donald Trump. He has sky-high approval. He has no need for social media if his approval is so high right now. He really doesn't have much need for that. He debunked the theory that Melania is trying to stop him from running. All signs are pointing to him running. The CIA has released an investigation, a brief, that is titled Trump, a Unique Challenge. The CIA is still after him. The swamp still hates him. He is still the largest figure in America. He is thought about and talked about more than Joe Biden. Conservatives love him. Liberals still hate him. He's the only guy that moves the needle. He was an incredibly strong leader. He is a huge star. Americans love both those things. Make no mistake about it. American citizens love strong leaders and huge stars. Joe Biden is neither. He's not a strong leader, and he is not a huge star. We've watched throughout most of my lifetime, we've asked the question, which candidate would you rather have a beer with? Okay, well, Trump doesn't drink, but you understand the question. Which leader would you rather have a Diet Coke with or hang out with for an hour and just talk? This was easy. Trump's the first president in our lifetime that ever lost that question. He clearly won that question against Hillary. Obama clearly won it twice. You know, if you're asking the cool factor, who would you rather sit down and have a beer with? Hey, everybody wanted to go have a beer with Obama. He's the cool guy, man. I want to hang with the cool guy. This is the way it was. Al Gore was a stiff that ran against George W. Bush. All these things, if you just look at them, they don't add up to what happened to Trump. We're not relitigating all of that. He's going to run again. Unless he has a health problem or something happens, he's going to run again. And the beautiful part about this is America didn't know it needed Donald Trump. America didn't recognize how much they love a strong leader and a huge star until he was gone. And I'm going to use something shallow to prove this point. This is entertainment. So I'm going to move into entertainment and prove the point. These things are really easy. We've watched for years a show called Two and a Half Men. It was a sitcom. Charlie Sheen was the star. It looked easy. You would watch Two and a Half Men and you go, my God, Charlie Sheen has the easiest job on earth. It's easy playing that character. This is just, he was making $100 million or whatever in his contract. This is the easiest thing anybody ever did. And you didn't realize that it looked so easy for Charlie Sheen because he was that perfect for that role and he's that talented at what he does. You realize that when the producers of the show canned him because he was a pain in the ass and they brought in Ashton Kutcher. And you went, ooh, this show isn't very good. And you can't even figure out why they didn't just go with a new Charlie character and find somebody like him or that could play that role, like Rob Lowe or the guy from Full House or one of those guys, some other playboy to come in and play the role. They bring in Ashton Kutcher. It's a new role. The show tanks. It's off the air in a couple of years. And that's that. You don't replace Charlie Sheen. Roger Moore tried to replace Sean Connery as 007. No. No, thank you. American Idol without Simon Cowell was the number one show in the world. Simon Cowell leaves and it went off the air. Anyone want to follow Alex Trebek on Jeopardy? They're having a hard time. They still don't know what they're doing with Jeopardy. Alex Trebek is gone. Anybody going to be Rush Limbaugh? Not going to happen. Clay Travis? I like Clay Travis, but come on. They're not replacing Rush Limbaugh. The only guy with a shot to come close is Dan Bongino, and he's fighting with the company that syndicates him because they want to make him get vaccinated and wear a mask to work. And I don't blame him. Good for him. No. Van Halen? Van Halen. Sammy Hagar replaced David Lee Roth? No. No thanks. No thanks. We see this happen all the time, and you don't know it when it's right before your eyes. You don't know it. You watch Jeopardy. You know you love Jeopardy, but you look at Alex Trebek, and you go, well, there's nothing special about Alex Trebek. He's just sitting there making the show move. He doesn't have some great personality. He's moving it along. He's good at his job. Fine, but good luck replacing him when he's gone. Good luck. I'm just telling you. Oh, David Lee Roth. Well, he's crazy. He's off doing solo projects. It's called Van Halen because Eddie Van Halen's the guitarist. We'll be fine. We'll just bring in a new singer. We'll bring Sammy Hagar in. No. The band was never the same. And anybody who argues that they were is just simply loves Van Halen so much. You love them too much. You would accept less from Van Halen because you love them so much. This happens all the time when bands replace the singer that you love or the guitarist that you love, and now they're missing a big piece. I mean, the Beatles changed drummers, but that was before anybody knew who they were. If they went out and replaced Paul McCartney, 3 years into their craziness, no, not going to work. Bands replace somebody that's a pain in the ass, and they're never the same. You may love them so much that you think they're the same or that they're good or you like them. You may still love your band. You may love your show. You may still love 007 movies. We can all argue today over who the best James Bond was. But replacing Sean Connery was no easy task. American Idol's never been the same without Simon Cowell. You just don't. People get accustomed to things and they start to take them for granted. They watch a show or they see a president or they have a, you know, I think some of this happened with Salvador Perez last year. Salvador Perez signed a contract and people reacted like, what? What are the Royals doing? Why are they spending $83 million? I'm like, are you kidding me? Step back a little bit and think about what your Royals fandom is without Salvador Perez there. What would it be like to be a Royals fan last year without Salvador freaking Perez? Appreciate him when he's before you. I don't know how I've learned this, but I've learned this. I study media. You know, I've known my whole life Rush Limbaugh's the best. There will not be a replacement. Nobody's going to be Rush Limbaugh. I think Tucker Carlson's great on Fox, and he's grown into that. It has taken time, but I don't think that network's ever replaced Bill O'Reilly. I just don't. This is hard to do, whether it's entertainment, whether it's politics, whether it's your leader. It's hard to do. What America is learning and what really the light bulb that came on for me listening to this interview on Fox was America's got a giant Trump hole that it can't fill. And it may not even know it, but it's reflected in the polling numbers. It's reflected in people's attitudes. America loves strong leaders, strong personalities, giant American stories, and they love stars. They love stars so much they made Obama a star. America made Obama a star. Much of it made up. The guy sort of stutters. They talk about how eloquent he is when he speaks. I don't think he is. I think that's overdone, but I think he's the king of cool. I think you look at Obama and you go, I'd hang with that dude. He looks cool. He acts cool. He's got a swagger to him. Americans love that. They voted for it twice. They're like, yes, I like that swagger. Look at him. Look how much cooler he looks than Vladimir Putin or somebody. America didn't know this about Trump. They didn't recognize what they had. This is the boyfriend or the girlfriend you dumped, and you went, oh my God, what did I just do? And it didn't take long to realize that you made a mistake. America's made a mistake. They made a huge mistake. We're not just talking about people that voted for him the first time and not the second time. That's not it at all. We're talking about people that didn't ever vote for him, that were in the middle somewhere and going, no, Hillary's a known commodity. I'm just going with something that I know, and I voted for Hillary, and then Trump came in, and they were trying to find reasons to not like him, but they were seeing that America was prospering, and we were stronger, and we were better, and their taxes were lower, and their life was good, and the stock market was doubling, and all these good things were happening. And even when the pandemic came, his instincts were tremendous on the pandemic. His first instinct was, let's fight this thing. Let's get therapeutics. Let's find out real fast what we can give to people. But no, because it was his idea, the media and the scientists said, we can't do that, Mr. President. Anything they could do, they fought him at every turn. They impeached him. They made up false narratives. They made up a dossier. They have the CIA still today. The CIA is putting out reports just this week. Trump, a unique challenge. It's a complete report on what the CIA and the intelligence community perceived to be a tough 4 years for them because their president was demanding. Well, you think? He's being impeached. They're taking fake news and impeaching him. America needs this guy. If they don't get this guy, we need Ron DeSantis. We need somebody who will get back in there and continue to do the work that Trump did and clean this mess up. It is obvious there is a deep state machine. There is a group of tens of thousands of people in Washington, D.C., in the Northeast Corridor, that are running this country into the ground, and they are enriching their own lives. They're becoming multimillionaires and billionaires at the expense of the American people, and they don't care. We see it in COVID. Who's getting rich? Shareholders of pharmaceutical companies, scientists with the federal government. The CDC's budget is doubling. If everything is free to the public, you want to get a test, it's free. You want to get a shot, it's free. If everything is free to 330 million people, ask yourself this. How much money are those thousands and thousands of people in Washington, D.C. making off of tax dollars, off the American debt? How rich are they getting? and perpetuating this so it's free for you and you think you're getting a good deal. This is the biggest scam in American history. This is exactly why we formed this country, to get away from this, to get away from a government that was going to tell us what to do, tax what they want, take what they want, do what they want to do. This is why our country was founded, to flee the oppressors, mainly freedom of religion. That was a huge thing. There were a lot of people unhappy about taxes and representation and dictatorships and monarchy and all those things. But mainly it was, don't tell me, you know, the Catholics and the Protestants have fought forever, right? Don't tell me I can't be one or the other. Don't. Let me worship my God. And that is completely the foundation of America, religious freedom. And all these things are being quashed by a party that doesn't believe in religion. They don't want religion in this country. If they had their way, churches would not be tax exempt. Churches would be shut down. Religion would be stifled. It would just be gone. We will run this as a socialist, maybe even totalitarian country, one party rule where we tell you what you can and you cannot believe. That's what they want. It is truly and absolutely what they want, and we see it in everything they're doing every day. And Americans don't like it. They don't like it, and they're seeing it. But for you and I, and we're into these policies and we follow a lot of these things closely, you and I are in a special category. Not that special. I got to think 25% of people that vote Republican and 25% of people that vote of the country that vote Democrat, you know, really strongly know the issues. Like the crazy left, these people that throw blood on themselves and you know, do all these demonstrations. They believe what they believe what they're saying. They're into it and they know the policies. They're not dumb. They follow things. They're just crazy. They can't help it. There's crazy people everywhere, right? So it's the people in the middle that don't really follow this stuff as closely, that can't run down a list of issues and say, boy, this is worse, that's worse, this is going poorly. And maybe they've already forgotten about Afghanistan and things like that. But what they're feeling that they can't explain, and some of them don't even know, but it's reflected in polling, is that they miss a really strong leader that is a huge star. Because Americans crave that. Americans crave that our stars are bigger than yours. LeBron James is the biggest basketball star in the world. Tiger Woods is the biggest golf star. Tom Brady's the best football player. They don't care if they have the best soccer player. Our actors are the most famous. Our films are the best. Our culture's the best. Our music stars are the best. Our politicians, Donald Trump, he is the strongest leader and the biggest star on the planet. And they didn't even know how much that meant to them. It sounds shallow. It sounds insignificant. It is absolutely real. We are living it right now. There are millions of Americans that had no idea they were going to miss Donald Trump. And I'm not talking about the way you missed Barack Obama or some other past president. George W. Bush served his 8 years, and you wait a few years, and you look back, and you go, oh, yeah, there's my former president. We kind of miss him. No. That's not what this is. This is, holy crap, did I make a mistake? Was I wrong? Because when you compare this strong leader and the huge stardom and America First to Joe Biden, who wants to lock you down, has no personality, is not a star, and is not a strong leader and is getting defeated right and left in courtrooms all over the country with his mandates, it's a joke. It is a joke, and it is not what the majority of Americans want. The majority of Americans want that strong leader who is a huge star. We don't want Sammy Hagar. We wanted David Lee Roth. We did. We want Alex Trebek back. It is what people want, and they don't even know it until it's gone. And it is gone. KKHI is brought to you by Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. I heard from Spencer yesterday out at Finch Knife Company. They are so pleased to be inside the retail space of Teague Tractor and Farm in Belton. I have not been to Teague Tractor. It is a new store, but I'm going to go check it out. They've got all kinds of great farm implements, tractors, things for the farm and home. And I may be looking for a new mower in the spring, and they might have something perfect for me. So I'll check them out, because here's what I know about them. They're the only place in the city right now that carry Finch knives. If you want to hold them, look at them, touch them, feel them, see them, get to Teague Tractor and Farm in Belton and ask for the Finch knives. Tell them you heard about it on KKHI, and you're going to get treated like family. It's no more complicated than that. You can also order online, finchknifeco.com. These are great holiday gifts, or they're perfect to carry in your pocket every single day for a variety of reasons. These are not tactical knives. These are good old-fashioned pocket knives. Every single knife is designed in Kansas City. Social media won't help these guys. Instagram has denied them. There's no boosting. They're knives. They can't get out there, so they've chosen KKHI, and I'm thrilled that they reached out to us and said, hey, we think your podcast is the one that's going to help put Finch Knife Company on the map in the Kansas City area. So let's do that. FinchKnifeCo.com. I don't care where you live. You listen to the podcast in Idaho, order one of these babies. They'll ship it right to you. FinchKnifeCo.com or inside Teague Tractor and Farm in Belton. You're going to love them. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. I sent Mike Robinson a text this morning. I really like the man. He is a good man. He has good people working for him, and they do business in a way that is far different than most places in a major city. It's Excelsior Springs. Obviously, it's on the outskirts of Kansas City. It's just a better way of doing business. It's a handshake. It's a look you in the eye. It's a conservative American principles first. We got great American products here, Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. We're going to get you in the ride that fits you. We'll help you with financing. We're going to make you feel comfortable with this all the way through. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for them. It's really that simple. These guys are top-notch. You can build your car online at robertsrobinson.com. They'll ship it right to you wherever you live. They've had people in Florida buy cars from them, and they get them to them in Florida. You're going to get the lowest price and the exact vehicle you want. robertsrobinson.com. Do business with great American patriots at robertsrobinson.com. And, of course, our friends at B-Stock. Greg sent me an email from B-Stock. He says they have back gold MacBook Airs left for $699. I'm no genius, so I can't tell you what this is. These models are 2 years old, but they're new. So they have the gold MacBook Air left at $699 while supplies last. They have an i5 processor with 8 gigabit of RAM, zero battery cycles. They're selling these for over $800 online, $699 in store right now for the gold MacBook Airs at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Alec Baldwin is back in the news. He's about to be on a special with George Stephanopoulos where he breaks down and he cries. And this, I guess it doesn't matter if this is fair or unfair. This isn't a trial. This is a podcast. I get to have my opinion. I can't watch Alec Baldwin talk about this or do anything. I couldn't watch that scene in the street. I can't watch the clips I've seen of him with George Stephanopoulos without thinking this is a classically trained actor acting. I can't. I can't get past it. He breaks down and he cries. It's the horrors. It's the worst thing in my life. It's all these things, and it doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem real to me. I bring bias with me about Alec Baldwin because I know what a scummy person he is. I know what he's done in the past. He has hit reporters. He's been violent. There's no way that Alec Baldwin is still working if he weren't a liberal, a crazy liberal on top of that. There just isn't. He's allowed to keep bullying people and act the way he has in Hollywood because he's a liberal. He's a New York liberal, and he runs in the right circles. This interview is so outrageous, Alec Baldwin tells George Stephanopoulos that he did not pull the trigger. Okay, so how did the gun fire? I think this is really interesting. I didn't pull the trigger. Have his lawyers already said your self-defense is going to be that's a 150-year-old gun and it malfunctioned? I think that's probably his best defense. Something happened. It tripped. It did. I didn't do it. I didn't pull the trigger. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That's hard to believe that the man is sitting in front of George Stephanopoulos now saying, I didn't pull the trigger. I don't know how this happened. It was in my hand. It happened. She was shot, but I didn't do it. Meanwhile, a fourth search warrant has been executed, and it details how live ammunition may have gotten on, the set, because there is a previous movie with a person who was working on this movie where there was a bucket of lime ammo in a green box that they were using with actors at a shooting range to show them how to properly hold and use the firearms. It almost sounds like the live ammo is cheaper than the fake ammo. I don't understand it. I'll be honest with you. I read it all, and I don't completely understand it, but there is now a fourth search warrant and some details of how live ammunition was introduced to that set, and it is disturbing. And it's really disturbing that she lost her life, but are you like me? Like, I watch Yellowstone, and there's guns in Yellowstone. Are you like me now when you're watching something where an actor is pointing a gun at another actor, you're just a little unnerved? It's not playtime anymore? Are you thinking, oh, God, good thing there wasn't an accident with that gun? Are you seeing that like I'm seeing that? Or am I very sensitive to violence in these things? I'm not sure which it is, but I think of it almost every time now. I don't watch a lot of things with guns in them. In fact, I'd say right now, Yellowstone's the only thing I do watch. The rest of what we watch are either, you know, trial dramas or sports, news, sitcoms, things like that. There really isn't any gunplay in any of those things. But I watch Yellowstone, and they keep showing this promo for this week's Yellowstone where the son that's the attorney general of the state of Montana walks in and points a gun toward his dad, and he says, go ahead and shoot me. You know, you've done it before, or something like that. And he's just standing there pointing a pistol at him, and all I can think of is Rust and Alec Baldwin. I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one. But Alec Baldwin, I'll watch. If I don't see it live tonight, we've got some things going on. If I don't see it, I'll watch the replay of it. I'm curious. But the excerpts, the clips that I've seen online, looks to me like he's acting in the interview, and I can't believe that he said he didn't pull the trigger. It sounds like that's going to be his defense. Meanwhile, Chris Cuomo is indefinitely suspended at CNN, and it's getting harder and harder and harder. They're taking more and more shots, but they didn't fire him yesterday. Chris Cuomo went on his podcast. He said he's embarrassed by this, and he's not going to talk about it anymore. That's what he says. That as a journalist, he's not a journalist. That's over. Chris Cuomo is not a journalist. He has no journalistic ethics. CNN is on the line here, and I'm okay with that. If they would just say, look, Chris Cuomo is not part of CNN News. He's just an opinionist. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with any guy having an opinion show. Look at what I do. Go ahead and do it. I just gave you my opinions about Alec Baldwin, but I'm not a journalist here reporting on what happened in the Rust shooting. I'm just giving you my impression of what I've seen with him sitting with George Stephanopoulos because he's chosen to put that out there in front of us. Chris Cuomo has the same right. I have no problem with this. CNN ultimately needs to do a little bit more about what Fox News has done. It's pretty obvious Fox News when they're doing a news show and when they're doing an opinion show. What's slightly unusual about what they do is they do news all day. Then at 4 o'clock, they go to the 5, which is an opinion piece. And then after that, they do kind of a news show. They do the same thing at night. They get done with their prime time. Shannon Bream comes on, and they do a news program. But you can separate them. You know when you have somebody on that is and isn't. Well, Cuomo's problem was he was telling people he's a journalist, that I don't do this. I'm not calling my friends in the media. I'm staying out of this. It's my brother. I have this integrity, all this stuff. He said all that and was lying. That's his ultimate problem. If he'd just said, look, I'm not part of CNN News. I'm not a reporter anymore. I used to be when I was with ABC. I was a reporter. I went out. I covered stories. That's not what I do anymore. That's not what I do. I'm an opinionist, and I'm here doing this, and I love my brother, and I'm not talking about what it is that I do behind the scenes. This is my show, like it or don't like it. I do that. That seems fair. That seems like a fair deal. You have the choice. Listen to the podcast or don't listen to the podcast. You know what I am. You know what my background is. And you know what I'm doing now. But not Chris Cuomo. No. He had to sit out there. Oh, we're CNN. We're the most trusted name in news. I'm a journalist. I'm a journalist first. And I'm not sharing this with any other journalists. And I'm not asking around. I'm not helping my brother. And I'm not doing this. And all the while, he was doing all that. Because the man at his core is a liar. But CNN has a tough choice. He is their best show. He's not great, but he's their best show. And I don't think their viewers care. I really don't. They act like they do. They're like, oh, we can't have sexual workplace violations with Governor Cuomo, and Chris Cuomo's tied up in this, and he's had allegations against him too. They all run around and act like they care. They don't really care. They don't really care. This is the problem with them. It's all fake. They don't really care about the workplace. They're trying to create mayhem and scare people. And unfortunately, what he's caught up in is the giant movement of the left is to diminish the role of middle-aged white men in American society. And that's what he and his brother are. So they're caught in the crosshairs. Their skin color isn't right. Their gender isn't right. Nothing about them is right to get them out of this. They're seen as the oppressors. They're seen as the problem. I mean, it's really kind of funny when you think about it. You run around and try to be so woke, but it's never going to be woke enough because you're a white man. Ain't never going to be woke enough for the left. You can't. As a white man, you can never be woke enough for the left. Joe Biden's finding that out. He's doing all kinds of things that we think are insane, but it ain't enough for the far left. You're the white guy. You got a white old man in the White House, so he can't possibly be woke enough. That's where Chris Cuomo resides right now. It's got to be a tricky spot for him. As we move to sports, let's mention 360 Document Solutions is looking to hire. They'd love to hire you as a sales rep, IT technician, all kinds of great positions. If you'd like to reach out to Mark Lindquist, he's got a winning company, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And if you don't like working for the people you work for, go work with someone who's just like you at 360documentsolutions.com. They're hiring positions all over Western Missouri and the state of Kansas. Just call this number, 913-745-5344. If you're worried you're going to lose your job because you didn't get a jab, or you have to wear your mask at work and you don't like it, 360documentsolutions.com is for you. Jump on it. Back 9 Development. Online at back9development.com, a custom home builder, commercial properties, room additions. TJ's a solid dude, man, and they do great work. This is really nice, upscale condominiums on the Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. Tremendous investment properties. Second homes, college kids, you name it. A lot of applications here that apply. Of course applications apply. That was really stupid sounding, wasn't it? But he's a great dude and he builds great products. And if you're looking for a room addition, a new home, a commercial property, anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, he can do it. Call TJ at 785-236-0161 and arrange a personal tour. And my friends at Merriam Body Shop, I-35 and Johnson Drive. It's on Merriam Drive, but it's right by I-35 and Johnson Drive. State Farm Preferred. They'll do full collision repair there at the body shop or at the new car image, the paintless dent removal center, which is just about a mile away. They do all the custom detailing. They take out the door dings. They do the small work. They have two shops. They separate the two because they have a real passion for your vehicle. They love your car more than you do. I'm going to promise you that. My promise to you, if you call Merriam Body Shop, is you will find that they love your car more than you do. That's my promise to you because I've learned that. I've already learned it. It's easy. Call them, 913-362-1198. And for crying out loud, recommend them to your friend. If you hear somebody, your friend says, uh-oh, I got in a fender bender and da-da-da-da-da, just right away, get it to Merriam Body Shop. Online at merriambodyshop.com. Well, December 1st has come and gone, and Major League Baseball is locked out by the owners. The players are locked out by the owners. And there's sort of a so what factor to this because it's the offseason, and we're months away from the start of any real game, which is typically around the 1st of April. So we still have 4 months till a game that anybody cares about. And this is the first time in a long time, 25 years, there's been a work stoppage in baseball. What is a lockout? What is a work stoppage in the offseason? Well, there's no more free agent signings. There's no trades. Players can't come to the facility. Owners can't talk to teams. Managers, coaches can't talk. It's a lockout. We're done. We're done here until further notice. They had a 7-minute meeting yesterday to try to hammer out a new deal. 7 minutes. 7-minute meeting. And the owners walked out and said, no, we're not getting anywhere. So what's at stake here? All right. Well, the players have finally awakened. I have a long history of discussing what is wrong. You know, they had all these work stoppages and strikes, and we lost the World Series in 94. And the players, guided by misguided agents, Marvin Miller, Scott Boras, all these people that came along, now they're seen as historic figures in baseball, but they were misguided because all they ever fought for was for the highest paid player's salary to be really high. Okay, that was achieved. I said all along, what they're missing is, it's a bizarre situation to go into a major league clubhouse and walk around and you know everybody's salary. And there was a time that I was out there every day and I'd look over and I'd go, okay, there's George Brett He's making $4.5 million a year. And over here's David Howard, and he makes $175,000. And I kept looking around the room, and I'm like, wow, there's 20 David Howards in here. There's only three or four George Bretts, Bo Jackson, Kirk Gibson, Mike Boddicker. There they were. Those four were making money, and the other 21 weren't. And the union got exactly what it want because their stars, George Brett, Kirk Gibson, Mike Boddicker, Bo Jackson, were all making big salaries in Kansas City. The other 21 guys were making beans. It has risen now. The minimum salary is, I think, somewhere in the 500,000s, which is an outstanding living. But if you only play 2.5 years in Major League Baseball and now you're 25 years old or 27 years old, your life ain't over. You're not set because the culture there is outrageous. They will fine you in the clubhouse. They all run around like they're all going to have money for life. You pay punishments. You take, you know, the team out to dinner could cost you $15,000 one night as punishment for something. You don't even want to know what happens because the guys with $100 million make the guys with no money spend money too. You tip the clubhouse guys. I'm not saying you can't play 3 years at the minimum Major League Baseball and save enough money and invest at a young age to retire early and be rich. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm saying it doesn't happen. I've never understood why the minimum salary in Major League Baseball isn't $1 million. I don't get it. I don't understand why. I think if you play one inning of one Major League game in one season, you should get $1 million for that. This is a unique trade. It is very hard to get there. It's not really going to hinder the top end. We just saw Max Scherzer get what? $45 million for 3 years, and he has everything on his side to opt out after 2 years if he wants. So the high-end guys are getting high-end money. They always will. This hasn't stopped them. What owners have done is they've gotten smarter about a player like Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield's a really good ball player. And the Royals signed him to a contract and said, we're going to get into your free agent years. We don't want you to become a free agent. Whit Merrifield was an older player when he got to the big league. So he said, look, I need security. He's making 20-some million dollars, not per year, but I think in his contract. And he's set for life. No matter what happens after his contract is up, Whit Merrifield made a decision. I'm set for life. I maybe didn't make the $200 million that I could have made if I'd been brought to the big league sooner. But I made enough that I'm set for life. And this is what players are choosing, and it's real money, and it's more than George Brett made or Frank White or players in their era. So it's a good thing. Players are making smarter decisions. Owners are capitalizing on that. What they're also doing is they're saying goodbye to some players after 2 or 3 years going, you know what, you're just another guy. Your salary's going up. You're going to arbitration. You're not worth $1.5 million. I'll replace you with somebody for $1 million less. And that's what this is all about. The players are finally worried about second and third tier players. They're worried about what happens in the years before free agency and how much money they make. This is reasonable. This is smart as a union. This is the first smart thing I've seen the players' union do. It's never been a union. It's always been an association of thousands of players because the minor leaguers basically are involved too, right? They eventually want to get to the big leagues. So they're involved too. So we're talking about thousands of people every year that are involved to help what? Maybe 20 guys that go out every year into free agency that make really big money. It was always set up for them to never have a salary cap. Let them make as much as they can make on the open market. Well, the owners don't want a salary cap. They're not asking for a salary cap. They've figured it out. The owners have figured their business out. We were crazy before. We're not going to be crazy again. We can control ourselves. And now the players are finally figuring out where they went wrong. And that is, we need a payroll floor. We need you to commit that $70 million is going to be the smallest amount every team is going to spend because teams that aren't ready to win are tanking. They run their payrolls way down. The Royals did this before they got good. It works. Saving money now so you can spend it later works. And teams know it, and the players have seen it, and they don't like it. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I'm with the players on all this. I think they're doing the right thing. I think they're asking for the right thing. And I think in the end, if you pay the younger players more and you have a salary floor that the years that you're not trying very hard, if that costs you more, that may keep you from spending. If Scherzer just got $45 million a year for 3 years, maybe he only gets $39 million a year for 3 years in the free agent market. It will somehow, some way, take some money away from some players on the high end. That sounds like socialism. I understand. I'm talking about if I'm running the union, my obligation is to every member of the union, not to the top brass of the union. If you believe in unions, if I'm running a union, if I'm saying, here it is, we have thousands of people to worry about, I'm worrying about all of them, not the handful at the top. And I think the players finally have it right here, and I think the owners will agree to these things. I think they'll go with a salary floor if they can figure out what that is. I think they'll agree to more in a minimum salary. I think they'll agree to better terms of, these players don't like Bobby Witt Jr. got kept down all year last year. Well, the Royals were doing that for control of his career. The players want to find a way to eliminate that. And maybe it is you can bring up one player a year that you get an extra year with or something like that. If you bring them up within 18 months of being drafted, you have control of them for one more year. But bring him up. He's ready to play at this level. Don't keep him down for something down the road. I don't know how they figure that out, but I think they can figure that out. The owners also want to go to 14 postseason teams. They really want to water down the postseason. I can't tell you whether I'm for or against that at this point. Oh, in Norman, Oklahoma, it's pretty serious. There's now vandalism all over the town. There's spray-painted signs, traitor, the hate for Lincoln Riley. They're mad at the people that run the school. Everybody in Norman is revolting over this Lincoln Riley leaving for USC. Guys who work at the radio stations down there say this is the biggest thing that's ever happened. Their ratings are through the roof. It's not slowing anytime soon. They're doubling up the social media content. Everybody's listening. Everybody's engaged. Everybody is mad in the state of Oklahoma, like really mad. The only thing I can equate this to, and I think a lot of people in Kansas City felt this and probably don't understand what's happening in Norman. I wouldn't say this, but I didn't think this was right. Does everybody remember when Roy Williams left? A few years before that at Kansas, Roy had tinkered with leaving and said, I'm staying, and he stayed. But you always kind of knew there was a chance Roy could leave. Do you remember how devastated Kansas fans were when Roy Williams left for North Carolina? And this was a guy that had warning signs all over the place and went to coach his alma mater. I mean, you knew it was a possibility. Always. It was always lingering. It was always there. Oklahoma fans had no idea Lincoln Riley would ever leave. And if he ever did, they just assumed it would be to the NFL. That if Andy Reid retires and the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are sitting here and they want to hire Lincoln Riley, well, they can understand that. Or if Jerry Jones wants to hire him to coach the Dallas Cowboys, they could sort their way through that. They could understand it. But to leave for another university? No. Oklahoma fans are devastated. This is 10 times worse in Oklahoma than when Roy Williams left Kansas. And that was a major deal. It was one of the biggest things we ever covered or saw in my entire career. 35 years covering stuff. With big stars, Bo Jackson, Joe Montana. I mean, we had all Patrick Mahomes. All these giant stars have been in and out of Kansas City. And things that have happened. Tom Watson was the greatest golfer in the world for quite a period of time. There's all these things. And yet I remember the Roy Williams thing being the most emotional story in Kansas City. More emotional than when we had tragic deaths. I mean, people were really hurt when Derek Thomas died. But it wasn't the same as when Roy Williams left. I can't explain that. It's true. Yordano Ventura died. Royals fans were very emotional, upset. Still, not the same as Kansas fans when Roy left. And this Lincoln Riley thing is times 10. They're hanging signs. They're writing some of the most horrific things about him. Traitor, scumbag. It's awful, the things they're saying and doing in his wake. What they don't realize is their school, their athletic department, is Lincoln Riley. They're as traitorous, they're as scummy, they're as rotten as the coach that left them. They can't see it. They're too filled with their Oklahoma glory, with their egos. They are puffy fans. Make no mistake about it. They're not Ohio State fans, but they're puffy and arrogant, and they can't believe this, and they don't know how to handle it. And they're losing players right and left, and now it seems like Mims, the receiver, wants to leave. I'm sorry, but I find this humorous. I think karma's a bitch. I'm enjoying it. I don't care if they go off into oblivion like Nebraska has. It won't bother me one bit. it's taken me all these years to circle back and actually feel a little sorry for Nebraska. I do feel bad for them. I do. I haven't really until the last year or two, because I'm like, well, it's probably, they've served a long enough sentence. At some point you get out of jail, right? At some point you commit a crime, you go to jail, and on good behavior we'll let you out. That's kind of where I am with Nebraska. I'm ready to let them out on good behavior. The fans that I know are more humble now. They understand it's not a given, a God-given right to go win 70-0 over Kansas State and Kansas. That's not a God-given right. They now know that. They know. They've been humbled. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. So they can get out of jail. We'll put Oklahoma in jail for a while. Let them trade places. Let Nebraska get some 9-3 seasons. It would be awesome if they got to the Big Ten championship game once. Perfect. Go for it, Nebraska. Let's put Oklahoma in the jail you've been in for 20 years. Nebraska hasn't won a conference title this millennium. 99 was their last title. Unbelievable. Good luck, Oklahoma. Good luck. Later on Thursday, we'll do our NFL and Chiefs preview. We'll also hear from Lee Sterling. I'll have a separate podcast up on that. You don't want to miss my breakdown of the Chiefs-Broncos game. I'm going to spend a great deal of time on that before Lee Sterling. So if you're a lot of you don't like the gambling picks, whatever, the Lee segment, I always attach it to more. I'll put that up front and Lee at the second part. But he's got some great picks this week, and we'll do that. But I'll have plenty of football news for you there and a Chiefs-Broncos preview in a separate podcast coming up on Thursday. And we'll finish with LeBron James and his fishy tweet. Did you guys see what LeBron James did? LeBron James has COVID. He's been double masked. He's been double vaxxed. He's a double. He does double doubles on the basketball floor. He eats double doubles in an Outburger. He's a double double guy. He's done everything. He sends out a cryptic tweet on Wednesday that basically says something is, and then he puts emojis of fish. Fish, 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 like 8 fish, 9 fish, 10 fish. Something is fishy here. Something is fishy here. I'm just going to ask the question because I don't know what's going to happen. I've heard from a lot of people like, why aren't you on LeBron for having COVID? It's a dead story to me. We've done COVID so much. Just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean you can't get COVID. The whole thing's fake, folks. The whole thing's fake. I told you I got a buddy going on a cruise. You can't go on the cruise unless you're vaccinated. Why? You can still get COVID. It doesn't protect you. It doesn't protect others. COVID's real. It isn't going away ever. We've had COVIDs our entire lives. No, nobody wants to talk about this. COVID is not new. COVID-19 was a new variant. That's all it was. COVIDs have been around forever. This is just crazy what we're doing. So it isn't going to go away, and no single vaccine is going to stop it, and we're not stopping it. So I'm not going to get on LeBron for getting COVID. Of course I know people with masks and have shots can get COVID. What I don't hear a lot of is people saying they got COVID for a second time. There's not a lot of that out there. Seems like the natural immunity to me, with the stories that I see, is better. When I don't want to go down that road. So I'm not going to sit here and rip on LeBron for getting COVID. He did what he thought was right. Now he puts up fishy emojis. What does that mean? What does that mean? What if LeBron James comes out because he's got 50 million followers? And in the black community in America, if LeBron says it, he's God. It's true. You cannot like that, but it's true. What if LeBron now comes out and says, this vaccine is a piece of crap? Or, you know what? I really haven't felt the same since I got the jab. My energy level isn't the same. I'm not playing as well. I got all these things going on, and it didn't keep me from getting the virus. And now what? What if he becomes a critic of this? I'm not going to go into detail here on the end of this podcast because I don't know that that's going to happen. I would just ask the question, what if it does happen? Oh, my goodness, would the Biden administration have a real problem on their hands then? A major problem. If he becomes anti-vax or a vaccine skeptic, holy hat, they've got a problem on their hands. A major problem, because that's somebody flipping. That's not, hey, I was always skeptical of this thing or anything like that. We've seen these NBA players that are skeptics, and LeBron's been like, he's kind of supported them. He said, look, Kyrie Irving, you got to do what you got to do. I've taken the vax. I've made my choice. Now what if all of a sudden he swings to Kyrie's side and goes, you know what? He was smarter than me. Not taking it was smarter than me. NBA is going to have to change their rules, certainly, and kowtow to the players. I think that is the story. What happens if LeBron comes out of this a different person? So watch for that one. And watch for the like or follow button. I would greatly appreciate it if you would hit like or follow. Or tell somebody about the podcast if you think they might like it. That'd be really cool, too. Help them. Play it on their phone, wherever they want to listen. They'll say, oh, I've never listened to a podcast. Say, it's easy. It really is easy. It truly is. I've figured out how to do it. I've figured out how to even do one. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Because I'm the guy that always has technical problems. Always. So trust me. You can do it. You can teach someone else. Show them how to do it and have them hit that like or follow button if you think they'll like the podcast. Or maybe even consider getting a subscription to the patron program for all of the premium content that we do at KKHI. We will have that up on Thursday, a separate podcast Thursday, with the Thursday night football pick, which is the Saints and Cowboys coming up on Thursday night. So we'll have that for you. And we do the newsletter every week. And we're going to be doing more written content as we go forward for the patrons. So it's a fun read. You can read it whenever you want, right there on your phone or your tablet or your computer. So we're kind of growing the premium content on the patron program. If you'd like to sign up, it's $5 a month or more. If you sign up now, your money goes to charity and I will double it. No more complicated than that. To Christmas Shining Star. Go to kkhasissues.com. Get signed up. Become a patron for $5 a month or more. And we'd love to have you as part of that team as well. Okay. Now, we're going to have a big announcement also on the second podcast. We're going to have a watch party, an event coming up 1 week from today. This is Thursday that I'm talking. This will be Thursday, December 9th. And I'm going to have the details on the second podcast as we're talking about football. So start thinking about this. This is going to be for everybody, not just for the patrons. We're going to have a get-together. You can have an iced tea or a cold beer. There's going to be Thursday night football on. I think the Vikings play next Thursday night. I'll have to look the game up. We have found a place in the Northland where we're going to have a watch party. It's going to be fun. Everybody's going to be there. We can share thoughts. You can do a meet and greet, maybe do business with other like-minded people, take pictures, have some fun. And for the patrons, everybody that's in the patron program, you'll have the opportunity to get a free beer, courtesy of yours truly. We'll have a details on that on a patron podcast for you on how to do that. So we would love to have you out. Mark your calendar for 1 week, December 9th, Thursday evening in the Northland. I'll have all the details for you coming up on the second podcast this Thursday on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.